After one of the most trying years of their lives, we've got a visit today with Tracy and Libby Stuffel of the Perrys, 1 year later.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
We've been following this group for so many years because of their contributions to gospel music, but when 2013 hit and we all had a new year on our mind with new goals and new agendas, Tracy and Libby of the Perrys had no idea what the year would hold for them, and I can't imagine the ups and downs that you two have faced, but we've been there with you, we've been praying for you, and it's been a wild ride of God's faithfulness. And I just want to say, it is so good to be talking not only to Libby, but to Tracy Stuffel here 1 year later. Guys, thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Hey, thank you, Daniel. Thank you so much.
We're ready to jump into conversation, but first, here's the Perrys featuring Tracy on Daniel Britt and Friends.
To the wounded and the weary, come thirsty.
Have you built up a resistance to the sun and to the rain? Is your life in need of healing from the heartache and the pain? Jesus calls to all the searching to cast your every care.
Britt and Friends. Libby, Tracy, you guys, I don't know if you, how much you knew this before, but you, this is a well-loved group in the gospel music community. I think the walls were just broken down and people came out of the woodwork to pray for you guys. And I know because I saw video and pictures through the whole process of just the overwhelming response. Do you want to talk about that first, how blown away you were when this happened and the outpouring of support?
Yeah, it's you know, you hope that after you've done what we've done for so long that, you know, you have friends and you've made friendships and stuff along the way. But never in a million years would I've ever dreamed that people would respond the way that they did, which Facebook, you know, a lot of people don't like Facebook and they, you know, it's bad. Mm. Facebook is whatever you use it for. And I know with us, it was a tool that we were able to use to keep people praying, keep people updated and informed on what was going on. And the emails and messages that we got from around the world, people we didn't even know that somebody saw something on one of their friends, on one of their friends, and, you know, like, we don't know you, but we're in Australia and we're praying for you.
Wow.
And, you know, and I'm like, oh my word. I mean, it's just, and Tracy was always the type person that he never felt like that his input into the group was, you know, people didn't pay that much attention to it, and that he felt like that they, you know, came to see everybody else and not him. And I think through this whole process, he's realized that people really do love him. And it's just been phenomenal. I can't comprehend it. I mean, it's been amazing.
Everywhere I go, the Lord is always with me. Everywhere I go, he is right there by my side. He is constantly cheering me, pressing toward the victory. He is always leading me everywhere I go.
Here I am, a climber. I'm climbing up the mountain. I'm searching for that city fair that I can call my home. Even though the hills are steep, even though the valley's deep, I have a friend to hold my hand and I'll not climb alone.
Everywhere I go, the Lord is always with me. Everywhere I go, he is right there by my side. He is constantly cheering me, pressing toward the victory. He is always leading me everywhere I go.
It's been a long, hard journey, while drudging through the darkness, but my sights are set on heaven's door, and I'll get there, I know. Though I may be weary, and the outlook may be dreary, but the outlook points to victory, and Jesus said it so.
Everywhere I go, the Lord is always with me. Everywhere I go, he's right there by my side. He's constantly cheering me, pressing toward the victory.
Well, Tracy, I love you so much, and I remember standing at one of the National Quartet Conventions. You guys pulled out the works and grilling hamburgers and hot dogs for a bunch of us one night, and I remember standing there as you were over the fire grilling the burgers, and I just knew it's like a comedian. You go up to a comedian and you say something funny. And that's the worst thing you can say to a comedian. But I just knew if I got close enough to Tracy, he's going to make me feel good and going to make me laugh. And I talked to Jeff Easter a couple of weeks ago. And Jeff is, you know, your buddy Jeff, he is so excited of the progress you've made. And he said, Tracy's back. He said his sense of humor, the twinkle in his eye, you can tell. So, Tracy, I just want to ask you, how are you feeling and how was your last checkup, your last report?
Well, I kind of feel bad, Joel. The checkup was great. Everything's been going great, and everything is really fine.
It's good to hear. Let's take people through, and I don't, you know, for those who are listening and wondering exactly what happened, it started with a stroke. Is that right, Libby?
Yes. We had actually been to a hockey game in Nashville. We're big Nashville Predator hockey fans. And, well, let me back up. That morning, we one of our best friends had had breast cancer surgery at Baptist. And so we went down for that. And so while she was in recovery, the Predators was having an early hockey game. So we went for that and went to supper. And Tracy, he said, when we get out, he said, I'll just drop you back off by the hospital because I was going to spend the night with our friend and where her family could go home and rest. And so we left the hockey game. There was a little bit of confusion when we left the hockey game. Instead of going toward the hospital, he went the opposite direction, and which I thought was strange, but you know, you just don't think nothing about it. And then,
and you don't, you don't question a man's ability when he's driving, right?
No. And I did that night. I did. Yeah. And I said, are you not going to take me by the hospital? And he said, well, yeah. He said, I guess I can go this way, Cana. And I was like, yeah, it, you know, it would have been much shorter to win another way. But anyway, we got to the hospital and we went in and he wanted to see our friend. And then I walked down to the car with him to get my stuff out. And we talked for just a few minutes. And then he said, I just want to let you know, he said, I'm going to start back to the gym tomorrow. And I said, really? I said, what, you know, because we had kind of took a little break and everything after 3 years after the open heart surgery, he had lost 100 pounds and all this. And so we were taking a little bit of a break. And, so, he said, well, he said, this blah feeling that I have, it just, he said, it's not worth it. And I didn't think another thing about it or anything. We kissed goodnight. And, I went into the cafeteria to get something to drink for me and, our friend. And, I had left all of my bag, my purse and my coat in her room, which had my cell phone in it. And, he left. And so when I came back to her room, I walked in, she's sitting on the edge of the bed crying. And I thought she was sick. And I said, are you okay? Are you okay? And she said, it's not me. She said, it's Tracy. And I said, what? I said, what's going on? And she said, he can't feel his right side. And so I grabbed my cell phone, tried to call him. I couldn't get a hold of him. And, tried her husband, who had left the hospital to go check on it. He had got maybe a quarter of a mile from the hospital and had the stroke, and he had an accident and hit. It's a concrete barrier thing that holds the mechanism that runs the streetlight.
Right.
And so he had hit that, but he was able to call our friend to, you know, tell him. He said, I can't feel my right side. And
it's happening again.
Yeah, he told him, he said, it's happening again.
Wow.
He thought that he was having a heart attack.
Huh.
And so, so our friend, Tim Dillman, he left the hospital, went to where he was at, and which where Tracy was at didn't make sense where he was at, because he should have went the opposite direction.
Right.
Home. And so, you know, hindsight, you look back and you see little things that you're like, okay, why didn't I, you know, why didn't I notice this? And, but anyway, they, the ambulance came and picked him up, and, our friend Tim told him, said, I think he's having a stroke, and said, because he can't feel his right side. And, so they checked him, and sure enough, well, they brought him to the hospital there where I was at. So I met him in the emergency room, and he was still able to talk probably for about 45 minutes, once they brought him into the ER. And, He looked at me and he said, this is just not fair. And he said, I've worked so hard to get my health in check. And he said, and this happened. And he said, it's just not fair. And I told him, you know, I said, Tracy, I said, God, ways are not our ways. And we don't understand why he's doing this. And they done a CT scan, and they come back. They said that it was a stroke, but it was a bleed. It wasn't a clot. It was a bleed. So they couldn't, you know, give him the miracle drug or anything. Mm-hmm. And about 45 minutes to an hour, his speech just got all crazy and jumbled, and you couldn't understand it. And so they took him immediately to ICU. 3 o'clock in the morning, he raised up and he went, "Oh, my head." And then he went into a coma. So then the next morning, they put the EVD drains, which is an internal drain into the brain to drain off the blood and the fluid and the pressure. And when they did that, they struck another bleed. Mm. And so through this whole process of 93 days in ICU, the drains would stop up, they would quit working, they would have to put another one in.
Right.
Either taking it, putting it in or taking it out, they would strike another bleed. So altogether, counting the cerebral hemorrhage that he had 5 brain bleeds. And most people don't survive one.
Wow. Wow. And that entered into a period I think most of us would say would be a very dark series of time in your life as we followed the daily updates, and you would get this glimmer of hope, and then there would be a kind of a downturn, and then a glimmer of hope and some victories and a downturn. And at this point, 1 year later, do you look back and look at the journey of faith that you came through during that time as being something is... And maybe this is an unfair question because it's only been a year, but Libby, is it something that you can say even now that it's a storm, it's dark, but I found a way through. I found there was a silver lining to even that dark period.
You know, back during Christmas, I went back to print off my Facebook statuses for Tracy during the past year. To put in a book for him to where that he could have it. I go back and I read some of the statuses, and, you know, I sit there with tears in my eyes because I'm like, God, it's only by your grace and by your strength that that we made it. And, you know, and I look back and I think how, you know, some of the statuses I read and I'm like, How did we do this? How did we stand through this whole thing? And all I can say is it was all God's grace and all his strength and all of his mercy. And, you know, and I had a doctor, he was a black doctor that came in, and, it was the morning that they had told me that Tracy had, meningitis on the brain. And, you know, he came in and he was probably almost 7 foot tall. And he said, well, how are you doing? And, you know, and I tried to put on a happy face and I said, oh, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I said, I'm just trusting God. And he looked at me and he said, are you really? And I said, yes. I said, you know, I said, they just come in and told me he had meningitis on the brain. And, you know, I said, that worries me a little bit. He said, well, if you've got any worry or any fear, he said, then you're not really trusting God.
Mm.
And, you know, and that slapped me in the face. And I was like, you know what? I'm not. I wasn't totally, fully trusting God. And from that point on, I made up my mind. I said, God, I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know what the circumstance is going to be, but I trust you. And none of this has taken you by surprise. You knew before Tracy was formed in his mother's womb what the outcome of his life would be. So therefore, I just got to trust you. And no, it was not easy. It's not been easy. You know, we still have our days, but his grace is all sufficient for every situation, every need, it just, I just wish I could explain it, but it's unexplainable where the strength and the grace comes from, because if it was within ourselves, we would be balled up in a corner somewhere, just giving up.
Talking today to Tracy and Libby Stuffel of the Perrys on Daniel Britt and Friends. Right now, a cut from Greater Visions Quartet's album with Tracy Stuffel singing bass.
See him in a manger laid, sent to earth, sin's price to pay. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. Stand in Pilate's hall, see him take the blame for all. He's my Savior. He's my Savior.
He's my Savior because he left his throne for me. My Savior, because he died in agony. He's my Savior, because he rose in victory. And he will always be my Savior.
Laughed to scorn, but he's my Savior. He's my Savior. See him hang in open shame on a cross that bears my name. He's my Savior. He's my Savior.
My Savior, because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior, because he died in agony. He's my Savior, because he rose in.
Greater Vision with Tracy Stuffel singing bass. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, our visit with Tracy and Libby. Tracy suffered a stroke in 2013 and then subsequently 5 brain bleeds, but 1 year later is back here to talk with us. Tracy and Libby of the Perrys. Tracy, I want you to know during this whole period of time, and I know you've heard the stories of how the people were praying for you and we were pulling for you and we were keeping updates going, but to hear your voice on tape, on CDs and recordings and on the radio stations, your booming bass voice singing songs of hope and encouragement. And every time we'd hear that, we'd say, that's Tracy. And the way he's encouraging us now through a recording is a reminder for us to pray for that same strength and endurance and faith for you and Libby. that's got to be a cool thing to think about, that even when you were unable to even speak, you were still ministering to people.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel, so much for reminding me of that. And it just lets me know that I've got work to do, and, you know, I've got a standard and something to hold up within my own self.
So when the day came and there was a big celebration after, and how many months was it when the streets of your neighborhood were finally lined with balloons and friends and loved ones to welcome you home for the first time? What was that like when you finally saw your front door again?
Oh, man, I can't even explain it. And at that point, I didn't know that I had really been out for 8 months. So many people were here. Jeff and Sherry brought their bus by and parked in the neighborhood.
Took up the whole street.
And took up the whole street, yeah. So many of our family and friends and people that we didn't even realize cared about us. And it was just amazing.
Daniel, the day that I brought him home, we got probably a half a mile or a mile from the house. And I told him, I said, well, I said, we're almost home. I said, we're only a half a mile. And he said, that might as well be 400 miles to me. He said, I can't get there quick enough. And so it was a very good, uplifting day for him, just first of all to be home, and because he didn't remember the first 7 months, mm-hmm. He doesn't remember a whole lot, and so it's, you know, the last month before he came home from rehab, he remembers, you know, stuff about that. But yeah. So it's kind of hard for him now to process, just, you know, he's like, I don't know how, you know. And he told the neurologist when he went in December for his checkup, he said, you know, he said, I don't remember a lot about my time at Baptist. And he said, other than just what my family has told me. And he said, my family has told me that you prayed over me, you fought and you done everything. And Dr. Alm, his neurosurgeon, looked at him. He said, Tracy, he said, do you realize, he said, you're a modern day miracle?
Wow.
That most people don't live through one of what you had. And he said, I could probably give you a medical prognosis of what, from our standpoint, what your outcome should be. He said, but you know what? He said, God has brought you so far. And he said, you're talking, you're singing. He said, you're, you know, moving your left side and all. He said, that's stuff that shouldn't be happening. And he said, we're just going to wait and see what God's got in store for you. And the neurosurgeon was so excited. He said, you're such a rare case of, he said, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And he said, you're here. And he said, your thinking is good. Your talking's good. He said, I got to have a picture. And so he made his receptionist come and take a picture of them together. He said, because he said, this doesn't happen every day.
Wow. What's been the best day since you've been home? I know that was a great day, but after the excitement of coming home, Tracy, what's been the absolute best day you've had since then?
Just getting to talk to you.
That's it. I was hoping that would be the answer.
Every day is a blessing. Getting to talk to you and explain my heart to people. And I just hope nobody gives up on me and we're on their self. And it's exciting. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. It's just been a blessing.
I saw where you got a Whataburger the other day and a milkshake, and I thought, that's Tracy right there, man. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's not a habit that we're getting into.
Well, no.
I told him that night. I said, now, we're not going back to these old habits before you had your open heart surgery. I said, you can have this one. And I said, we'll, Yeah, he's looking at me like, what? You're being mean. But yeah, that was, hey, and since Thanksgiving, I mean, he's been eating whatever he wants to. And matter of fact, this morning the nurse came for his monthly checkup for home health. And after the cruise, which is the first week in February, we're looking at having the feeding tube taken out, his catheter possibly being taken out. And so these are all steps of great progress. And we're, you know, it's like he said, every day is a blessed day. Every day is a good day that we're together,
Amen.
We're alive, and we're breathing.
And, Amen.
You know, it may be a rough day, but it's still a good day.
Amen.
Tracy and Libby Stuffel of the Perrys here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, and all who would not bow would surely die, they were told. But there were three who said they wouldn't bow and wouldn't worship the king. So he got his mighty men and they bound up these three. They turned the furnace higher to the hottest degree. Although outside the furnace there was pain and suffering, the Hebrew children never felt a thing. Oh, there was Shadrach
bound in the raging fire,
Meshach,
flames burning higher and higher.
The king said to the people when I gave that decree, I met these boys to burn, but then I counted only three. Now there's a fourth man with him, that's not part of my plan. Something strange has happened and I don't understand. They're loosed and they're walking, won't you tell me if you can? Why nothing was burned but their bands.
What do you think the biggest response is now that Tracy's able to get back on the road with you guys when you're in a concert? And maybe they didn't expect to see Tracy, or they didn't know what to expect from Tracy. And at the end of the night, they find out there's such emotion and impact in their own lives because of Tracy's story. Is that an accurate statement there? Do you find people are just blown away and they had no idea his story would be so profound?
It's funny because a lot of people know Tracy's situation just from Facebook and from Karen Bridge, and which, you know, we don't advertise that he's going to a place until the day before we leave out, just, you know, because you never know what could come up. And I think a lot of people are just shocked at that he is able to remember words to the songs.
Yeah.
They're shocked that he is just able to even get out of the house. And you know, I mean, you're looking at 5 brain bleeds and less than a year he's back singing some. And you know, I mean, he's not doing like a full set of songs, but he comes out and he does 2 or 3 songs, and then, you know, on the second round, he may come out, do 2 or 3 songs. The only thing we don't let him do is go to the product table, just for the fact that it, you know, it's flu season and all of this stuff, and we just don't want to introduce him to sickness, and so we keep him backstage, or sometimes they'll take him back to the bus and everything. But I think the people's overall response is they just can't believe how far God's brought him and how well he's doing in the process. And to me, it you know, not everybody believes in miracles. Not everybody believes that God can still heal. And I think that this has been a slow process for us, for God to show some of these naysayers, hey, I can still work. I can still heal if you'll only trust and believe and let me out of the box.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, let me ask you, maybe on a wild or funny note here, have you had anything that's been totally out of the box in the way of like a request, or people, like you say, who've shown up at a concert that maybe don't fit into the gospel music box, but they just had to come and see his story? Is there something that was just really like, you have an example of somebody or something that has happened or a request that's been made that just blew your mind?
Chainsaw.
Yeah, but people still come up and they're like, well, now he can do the chainsaw tonight, can't he? And we're like, I'm not for sure that he'll ever be able to do that again, just for the with the vessels being weak in the brain and in the head and everything, any strong pressure and could cause another vessel to give way, and we don't want that to happen. And the neurologist, he said, you could sneeze, cough, anything, and he said it could do what Tracy had. Mm-hmm. And so I look at him, I'm like, no, I don't think he can do that. And they're like, well, now we come just to hear him do that because we knew he was going to be here. And I'm like, there's more important things other than the chainsaw. So we'll stick with that.
And I don't know where all you have that on tape, but I know Mark Lowry got it on tape one time. And that's, for those who don't know, Tracy could do a killer impression of a chainsaw like you've never heard before. And it was an athletic move. So,
Gaither, we did a Gaither video here in Nashville. Oh man, it's been probably 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And Bill had Tracy to do it during one of the tapings, so it's there. So,
well, Libby, I want to say first off, and I know Tracy will agree with me wholeheartedly, that America and the world not only got to help you bear the burden, I guess it might be the right way to say it, but they got to witness you as an example. And I know you'll say, "Oh, be quiet," but as an example of a wife who served and loved her husband well. And there were so many days that I know a lot of us in our own human flesh would say, I don't know how she's doing this. I don't know how she's making it through. Because while Tracy may have been in a coma, you were wide awake for it all. And we honor you for the way, the example that you stood beside him.
Amen.
Isn't that good, Tracy? I mean, you got a killer lady there.
Amen.
Well, it just goes back. I guess I was raised with a mom and dad who never gave up. They never threw the towel in. When you took your vows for better or for worse in sickness and in health, till death do you part. And then this is something I try to tell young people nowadays when they talk about getting married. You need to look at that person and say, okay, if something were tragically to happen to them, that they couldn't be the person that they once was, or they couldn't function the way that they used to be, could you still be there for that person? Could you do the things for them that they can't do for themselves? If you can't look at that person and say, I can do that, then you don't need to get married. You don't need, because, when you take those vows for better or for worse, that's what it means.
Yeah.
In sickness and in health. And you know what? Our marriage has not been perfect, but God's always kept us together. And Tracy's always said, he said, we don't have arguments. We just have intense fellowship. And, but you just have to, I would stand there beside of his bed and I would look at him and I was like, God, you know what my heart's desire is. And if my heart's desire for our future and our down the road is not what your will is and not what your plan is, then give me a whole ton of grace. And, because there was a lot of days that, the doctor would come in and he'd say, we just don't know. We've done about all we can do, and it's totally in God's hands. And, you know, when you're standing there looking at your spouse of 26 years, and you're like, okay, this is not it. This is not going to be it. I refuse to give him up that easy. I'm not, you know, yeah, we may have a long road ahead of us, and we may have a hard journey for recovery and stuff, but you know what? I'm made of the stuff that my mom and dad was made out of, and that stuff, you don't quit. You know, you pull your bootstraps up and you say, okay, God, give me strength and I'll fight this thing. And, you know, we've had to put the devil on the run. God's been faithful.
When our work here is done and our life's crown is won and our troubles and trials are o'er, all our sorrows will end and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before.
Never grow old, and we'll never grow old in a land where we'll never grow old. Never
I'd like for you to hear just an example of the people that are praying for you still to this day and have been pulling for you and giving you encouragement. Listen to this.
Tracy, I want to thank God for you because you are a living miracle, and it is true that our God is a great physician. What he brought you out of, I don't understand all the things, and sometimes we don't understand. But God has a plan, and that plan is that you're here to do what you were called to do, to sing the good gospel. His words through song. You and Olivia are a blessing. You know, God used you guys in a mighty way to change lives. And you can continue on doing that. To you, Tracy, don't never give up. God will always be with you no matter what. Love you and praise you and thank you for all of what you guys do in the world. And I pray for your safe travels. Love you, brothers and sisters out there. Thank you. Bye.
I want you to know you're loved. If that's an indication, that's a representative of so many hundreds of calls we've gotten.
Amen.
Well, I know when all of this first happened, it was just amazing at how what we were going through was helping people realize life is short.
Yeah.
We're not promised the next second. You know, it's easy to praise God when things are going good. It's easy to praise God when you've got money in the bank, the bills are being paid, and, you know, everybody's healthy and all this stuff. And, you know, you've got life by the horns, you know. But when that second happens and everything changes, that's where you find out what you're made of.
How is Jared through all of this? You know, I'm sure that that he shared his emotions, you know, differently than you did, Libby. But how do you feel he has grown in the past year?
Jared has grown up a lot. He's matured a lot, and he stepped into the role of taken over the management position on the bus and making sure the bus is taken care of and they get from point A to point B. And, you know, just he's really grown up. And then, and a lot of people don't know this, but when we came back from the Christmas break, I had went to Jared back during the early fall and asked him, I said, Jared, I said, I wished you would consider and pray about filling in your dad's spot until he's able to come back. Mm-hmm. And which Jared's very quiet. He doesn't talk a lot. He texts, but he won't talk a lot. And he's like, Mom, I'm not wearing a suit and I'm not singing in front of anybody. And so I told him, I said, but just pray about it. Just, you know. And so one Sunday afternoon, we was at rehab and he came in, the group had got in early and he came in and the rehab department had brought a bed in for me so I could stay with Tracy. And he laid down on the bed and I was in the recliner sitting right next to him. And my phone goes off with a text message and it was from him. And I'm like, okay, he either is wanting to go somewhere or he's wanting to borrow some money or something. And so I opened the text and he said, Mom, he said, I prayed about it and I'll do dad's part, not a low bass, but a high bass. He said, till he gets strong enough to come back. And he said, I feel like this is what God wants me to do. Wow. And for this to happen, I mean, we're talking about a guy that he gets on the bus. You don't hear 20 words out of him the whole weekend.
Wow.
And so when we came back from the Christmas break, he started singing. It's just unbelievable. And so now him and his dad on our new album that's coming out in April, they're going to be doing a duet together on a song that Wayne Hahn wrote. And it's very special. It's like God has just grown him up. Just he's and this is something I had told a lot of people. When all of this happened, I was in the middle of a 21-day fast.
Mm.
And one of the things that I, well, a couple of things that I had really been fasting about for 2 or 3 years was Tracy's health and for Jared to draw closer to God and to really have a hunger and a thirst for God. The night that all of this happened, the devil jumped up on my shoulder and he's like, okay, wow, how's this fast going for you? And I stood there and I said, you know what, devil? You will not defeat me on this. And I will finish this 21-day fast. And it will be completed. And I'm just going to trust God. And through that whole process, you know, God took care of Tracy and stuff, but yet I've seen Jared grow in Christ, and I've seen him have a hunger and thirst to want to know God closer and have a closer relationship. And so through this whole thing, God has just growed him up and matured him, and matured him in a Christian way. And you know how 22-year-old kids are, you know, they want to put everything in front of, you know, they go to church and they read their Bible, but it's not like what they should. And through this whole process, I've seen Jared grow and mature Christian-wise, as well as, you know, and when all of this happened, him and his dad have always been more like brothers than they have a dad and son. You know, they'd play hockey 2 or 3 hours a night and stuff. And when Tracy couldn't talk, Jared, he said, all I want to do is hear my daddy talk to me again. And so now he'll aggravate his dad just to make him mad, just to get him to where he's cutting up with him. And and I told him, I said, Jared, I said, you don't have to aggravate him to get him to talk to you. He said, I know, he said, but he said, that's when I know dad really loves me. He said, it's when he's arguing with me. So you know, he's had to grow up a lot.
There was an amazing thing that happened at one of the award shows this year where Eric Bennett of Triumphant Quartet took home a bass singer award for favorite bass singer. And then he turned around and did something that left us all melted there, right there on the spot. He turned his award over and not only did it in honor of Tracy, but I think he literally gave you the award, didn't he, Tracy?
Yeah, he sure did.
How does that make you feel to know that?
Man, it makes me feel unbelievable. It's from the heart.
How long have you known Eric?
Oh, man. Before he went with Triumphant,
right.
He sang with a local group from Alabama, from Cullman, Alabama. That was years ago, over 25 years. I knew him back then.
You weren't at the awards show, I don't think, were you?
No.
Okay, but then later, I saw a photograph where you and Eric were together and he had the opportunity to sit down with you, right?
Yeah, Jacksonville, Florida. I got to thank him properly, just the way that I wanted to do it. That's the way I got to do it, and it made me feel a lot better.
Eric, how does that make you feel to hear Tracy talk about that experience?
Brings tears to my eyes, to be honest with you. That was one of those things that, honestly, Daniel, I didn't mean for it to get out. You know, it was after the awards program, and you have to be careful to do things like that because you don't want anybody to think that you're doing it for a show.
Right.
And so I sure didn't want to do it up in front of everybody. But God worked it out to where when we left the awards show, me and my wife were on the in the same van with Libby because I had thought about doing it then. And I thought, you know what, people would think I'm just, and I don't want that. So God worked it out where Libby and Jared were in the van with me and Dana on. I mean, there's so many vans coming and going, and they just happened to be on that van. And there I sat with my, you know, award, which was a great honor. It always is a great honor. They got off the van, and we got off the van. I grabbed Libby, and I said, "Hey, Libby, would you do me a favor? Would you take this to Tracy and just tell him I want him to have it? Tell him he's my favorite bass singer." And you know, and it was just a kind of a private moment, and she, which I understand why she did it, but she, you know, she then thanked me publicly, and it became, you know, a bigger thing. But that was really done from the heart because I love Tracy, and I really hate to see him, you know, going through this. And yeah, we've talked since then, and I've sent him a few videos. I'll do it from time to time, you know, of just, you know, what's going on with us and you know, just seeing how he's doing. And he'll send me a video every now and then. As a matter of fact, he sent me a video of you know, thanking me. But I've always thought a lot of Tracy and his, you know, his ministry, his stand, and him and Libby have always been very faithful and, you know, love what they do. And I just wanted to try to make his day, and it ended up making my day. So...
Mm. Eric Bennett of Triumphant Quartet talking about Tracy Stuffel of the Perrys. Here once again are the Perrys as our visit with Tracy and Libby continues on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I've read about the mountains God removes for his children, of miracles his loving hands provide. But what really got my hands upraised, made me have to shout his praise, was the day I could say,
he is mine.
Well, he's a mountain.
Harry's, you guys are working on some new things and the tour schedule, and I promise real soon we're going to get the group together and highlight what the Perrys collectively are doing, and we'll do that in another show. But if you want to find out more and keep up with Tracy and the Perrys, it's online at perrysministries.com. I want to let the last question come from a listener call that we got in earlier today and had a good question.
Yes, it's Ed here. I'd like to ask Tracy, has he been inspired to write any songs through this, what he's been going through? And I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
No, I hadn't really thought about it. If God wants me to, that's what I'll do.
Well, it's certainly been an emotional year for all of us, a tough year for you guys, but I think back to the song that Andre Crouch wrote, "Through It All, I've Learned to Trust in Jesus, I've Learned to Trust in God." And that sounds a little bit trite when you've gone through something so so big like you guys have gone through, but at the same time, I know because you've said it, you found a renewed strength and faith in Jesus because of this.
Amen.
We appreciate the time and the testimony and the way you guys have stuck it out, not only together, but in your walk with Christ. And you've been an encouragement to us like never before in this past year. Thanks so much for your time, guys.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you for taking the time. And let us just encourage people that maybe you're going through a hard time and maybe the doctor's report's not been the greatest in the world. But if you'll just trust God and you'll just give it all to Him, it, you know, sometimes circumstances don't always turn out the way we want them to, but if we trust God, then He will give us grace, He will give us strength, and He'll give us new mercies every day. And that's the only way that we've made it, is through His grace, His mercy, and His strength. And if you're going through a hard time, and maybe you're lonely, maybe you're homeless, maybe you're sick, maybe, you know, your family is split up, just trust God and don't give up, because His grace is sufficient for every need in our lives. And in the middle of all of it, give thanks for everything, because the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. And that's the good, the bad, all of it. And I promise you, He will be there. He will not leave you, but He will be there to strengthen you and comfort you, just to hold you.
Very well said. Tracy, it's good to hear you, and Libby, you as well.
Okay, you too, Daniel.
Y'all take care.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.